Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Final hour fist pump time on the Fan Cam Twitch and YouTube as Radio Row is getting introduced to the Sean and RJ 9 a.m. tradition.
You know, I always wonder, like, do they know what we're doing? And the answer to that is I don't really care.
We are in Indianapolis, day one of our coverage from the NFL Combine, and hopping on the Zoom right now is Always Electric Radio. He is the agent for DeMarcus Lawrence, Jordan Lewis, Rico Dowdle, and he is here with us now.
Yeah, absolutely. It is David Cantor. We've got David Cantor with us, as well as Ness Mugrabi. They just announced a new agency that they've launched, Aura Sports Group, and absolutely thrilled to have both of them here, and wonderful to talk
but
to.
But I'm very disappointed, David, that it's not in person, because my only goal in coming out here for the first time...
I mean, talk to NFL security, boys. You know, we're not cool enough, us agents, to get credentials. You know, they treat us like paupers over here. We're the guys keeping the league alive and keeping the players from rebelling against the system, and here we are, you know, quarantined to the JW Marriott Hotel with this terrible camera angle and bad lighting, and, you know, me sitting in
a hole, guys?
looking like Kermit the Frog.
What a terrible thing to be quarantined to the JW.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's, you know, we're not slumming it, but we're not exactly drinking the best coffee here either.
No, Bobby said David has his own table and he might have his own wine suitcase. And I said, all right, this is
nope.
It. This is our ticket to the big time.
This was it. Yeah. We're not bringing wine at 10 in the morning in Dallas, Texas right now. we'll have to go over to D. Lincoln's Prime another time and film a show there.
Exactly. All right, David, you know, the pivot to the new agency, let's just kick off with that, give you a chance to talk about that before we get into some of this other stuff around the league with the Cowboys. The launch of the new sports group, what's the thrust of what you're doing there?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically what Ness and me and Brian McIntyre have been doing for the last, you know, 30 years. This is my 30th year as an agent. So it's the same three men that run the group. It's a new name. It's a new kind of concept. We're going, obviously, trying to be younger, more aggressive, more passionate, showing the players in this industry, you know, that great representation still exists, and really trying to continue what guys like Eric Weddle and Olivier Vernon and DeMarcus Lawrence, you know, helped us build and grow with. And we've got some really exciting new players that have joined us, you know, obviously Jordan and Rico and Chauncey all come to us recently. You know, Israel comes to us recently. And these are guys that we're excited to show, you know, that they made the switch for a reason, and Aura Sports is here to stay and be the next generation. You know, Ness is 26, I'm 52. So there's a lot of similarities for where he is when he was 26 and where I was when I was 26. And hopefully now the next 26 years of Ness's career, you know, mirror mine and exceed mine. And he's the best I've been around. And I'm happy to call him my partner and my best friend and my work wife, which is our joke. And you know, like you guys are work wives, we're work wives, and you know, he's holed up in the JW on a different floor, and we're getting ready to go to Patachu and have breakfast. But first, we wanted to knock this out and pay our respects to you guys, who we appreciate and love so much. We don't get a cool hat or a headset or anything, you know. I'm sitting in a corner in my hotel room with the worst background ever. Yeah, I feel if anybody's having to watch this, man, I just feel terrible for them. I honestly. Like, just the idea that you have these two ugly guys sitting in this dark, dimly lit hotel. Maybe I should open up some drapes.
Damn, it's fine. You look great, man. Come on. Don't worry about it.
Outside. Look
natural
at this
light.
Thing.
It's
wild. Vitamin D or whatever it is.
Ness, I gotta ask. You know, he just David talked about the transitioning landscape.
I
and
have
how
security
everything...
in my room. I can't get into my safe and get my wallet. I can't go anywhere today. Can't even leave. Yeah. Literally, security guard just walked out of the room. It's total anarchy.
Well, we'll call
Thank
NFL
goodness
security.
I didn't come to the convention center. I'll never get a pat at you.
So Ness, I got to ask you. You know, David talked about the pivot and the changes and how you guys are trying to adapt to the times. How much in the time that you've been here the last couple years are you noticing players coming from the NIL era up into the NFL? How they're changing and adapting to the NFL versus how it was maybe even just 4 or 5 years ago?
You know, it's a great question. And, you know, to be honest with you, it's great, right? It's great for the players. They're starting to earn their income, you know, at a younger age. And it forces them to learn more about finances and to learn more about business management, understanding their money and how to utilize it and how to build and how to grow it. And I think it's a great thing, right? I think it's a great thing that players are able to, you know, maximize their compensation while they're playing in college and, you know, get what they deserve. You know, obviously these schools are worth and, you know, making tons of money, and it would be unfair for these players to come out of it with nothing, which is what it was, right? For majority of my time growing up, that's what it was. You know, guys would play, they'd make these universities millions and millions and millions of dollars and come out with nothing, and they're still, you know, trying to find people and, you know, find ways to find way to make money, right? And that's a tough part as a young guy and as a young, you know, college kid, you know, that now they don't have to deal with those issues that they had to deal with in the past. So, you know, these players are becoming more, you know, financially, you know, understanding of what's going on in the world, more, you know, basically they're getting more mature at a younger age, right? And I think that's a great thing for the NFL because, you know, when guys are coming into the NFL, you know, with the understanding of how to manage their money and how that they have money, right? It's not like they're coming in the NFL, they're getting this big paycheck, and that's it. Like, you know, they're used to it, right? This is their career, this is their job, and they're just going to build on that.
How soon can you guys now approach the NIL athlete? Like, what's the cutoff point? How soon is too soon these days?
I mean, you can call kids in high school.
Well, hold on. What makes sense? I mean, you have agents now that are going to 7-on-7 games of my 6th and 7th grade kids. Yeah.
Wow.
They're there. I mean, you know, remember, Florida and Texas and California are obviously, you know, three states that have produced an incredible amount of incredibly talented football players. You know, Florida obviously has a very liberal legal system with an open kind of Republican governor who now wants to get rid of property tax, and similar to your governor there in Texas, where the laws are, you know, really wide open. And California obviously allowed NIL for high school. You know, our high school where my son actually plays quarterback, the guy that starts in front of him is the number one prospect in the country, Dia Bell, you know, signed with Texas, you know. You know, Hook 'em Horns. Is this the right one?
Yeah, right there.
You got to tuck the thumb. No, you got to tuck the thumb.
100%. Sark is going to text message me if this gets back to him. Be like, dude, come on. We got to work on that. Like, you know.
Yeah.
This is terrible. Sorry. You can tell I've been to 100,000 Texas games. And so, you know, these kids are making real, real seven-figure income, more than all of us on this Zoom, in high school. It is serious. And so that has the trickle down effect, right? You used to have agents that would then go try to find guys that were, you know, juniors in college, or then it would be redshirt sophomores in college. Then it moved down to, hey, we got to get them the minute they're in the building and try to get some presence, build a relationship, grow a core. Now it's down to high school. Then now you can make money with high school players that is obviously going to trickle down into the junior high school levels and AAU basketball. And obviously, you know, 7-on-7, the proliferation of 7-on-7, you know, it's very, very serious. And the cool thing I think about NIL, and I know this wasn't to be an NIL conversation, is that for the first time the women are on equal footing with the men. and they can make real residual income. They can get recognized. They can make a real living as college athletes. And, you know, for a long time, women's sports were still big revenue generators. You know, you look at schools like Tennessee, South Carolina women's basketball, you know, multi-million dollar programs, LSU, USC, track, things like that, where they were making millions and millions of dollars for the programs, and the women were never getting compensated accordingly. And so I think that that's one of the cool residual benefits of NIL. But, and we've heard this repeatedly, as you're seeing guys like Jim Nagy leave to Oklahoma to become the general manager, mm-hmm. you're seeing Nick Polk, who used to run the Atlanta Falcons and ran the World League of American Football, leave to the University of Florida to become a GM. An agent left the industry to go work for the University of Washington. That there's a problem. And the problem is, it's the Wild Wild West. And yeah. So just because you have a signed letter of intent and just because you have, you know, a kid coming committed to your college doesn't mean someone comes in and offers a bigger, better, you know, sausage and says, hey, come for this money, come for this deal, come for this car, come for this plane. Come, you know, we're going to get your mom and dad a plane every game privately. We're going to get your mom and dad a hotel. We're going to buy them a car. We're going to buy them a house. And so, you know, at some point in time, I'm optimistic and hopeful that there'll be some type of governance in the system. Maybe a union is really necessary because you are seeing agents taking advantage of these kids with astronomical portal fees and astronomical marketing fees. We heard yesterday repeatedly 25%, which is an absolutely bat, you know what, I can't curse on your radio show. You know, but it's stealing money from kids and it's not fair to them.
Wow.
So it's tough when you're 16 years old and someone goes, hey, I'll do your high school representation. I'll get you a 4-year, 5-year college scholarship. It used to be, hey, I'm getting a scholarship. Right now it's I'm getting you a scholarship, but I'm also going to get you $300,000 a year every year. I'm going to get you bonuses if you make the SEC championship. I'm going to get you bonuses if you win the national championship. If you're the best player on the team, the MVP, I'm going to get you marketing deals. I'm going to get you a free car and all this stuff. And so that trickle down effect always comes with it, obviously, a little bit seedy underbelly of people who are looking to take advantage of the younger people who aren't as educated or experienced at what the agents really do and what they bring to the table. Do you guys all shop for your same hats at the same store?
You guys are all
all different.
They're all different. That's a Tennessee Vols.
They're all snapback.
Oh, yeah, they're trucker hats.
I like the backwards
brim. That's what I wear. I mean, listen, I don't know where my hats
are.
Yeah. You got to get you guys some Aura hats. We'll rock an Aura hat next show.
We'll wear anything free, man.
You hook up the Aura hats. We're on it. NFL agents Ness Mugrabi and David Cantor joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, so Stephen Jones spoke earlier this week, and he was asked about DeMarcus Lawrence's future. And he said, we'll have more discussions this week. I don't want to get out in front or assume anything one way or the other with D-Law. I'm sure he can speak for himself. What is the future and the outlook for DeMarcus Lawrence and some of the conversations you expect to have with the Cowboys?
Yep. We've never had, you know, Mike called me earlier this morning, Mike Fisher, and you know my history with Mike. Mike called me. We've never had any conversations other than DeMarcus Lawrence is going to continue to play football. We've never talked the R word. It's never been in our vernacular. You know, DeMarcus was healthy towards the end of the year, but it just didn't make sense to come back with the season kind of lost, unfortunately. You know, so he's 100% healthy. Good news, 100% healthy. Bad news, he's a free agent, right? So for Dallas Cowboys fans who love DeMarcus Lawrence, there is a possibility that he leaves. I noticed some little tea leaves that I read through the Dallas local media that get leaked from organizations that maybe, you know, maybe they're not going to bring him back. And that's understandable. You know, they got to get younger. They got to get less expensive and things like that. But Adam and I have always had great relationships and talking in our negotiations. Obviously, Steven and Jerry and I have, you know, with Ness, we have an incredible relationship. You know, I consider them business people who we actually have built over the last 30 years a friendship relationship with. And so I think that there's a lot of mutual respect from a representation standpoint and from DeMarcus Lawrence standpoint for what he's done for the organization and what the organization's done for him and me, because obviously, you know, we're his agents. And so I think that tomorrow our conversations will center a lot around all of the guys. And I say this to fans everywhere, you know, free agency and you're building your roster. It's not just go get Micah Parsons extended. It's okay. If we get him extended, what does that do to the rest of the roster? It's not just go pay Osa a big deal. What does that do to Chauncey? What does that do to Jordan? What does that do to the free agents? How do you kick money down the road with a Dak or a CeeDee deal? What does that do at the running back position and other spots that then open up because you're not going to be able to pay players, right? And so I'm very optimistic from what I'm hearing from other media people that Osa's deal is imminent. any day now, from what I understand, but I'm not reporting that. I'm just hearing that from other people. I'm not intimately involved. We don't represent the player. But I assume that once that happens, I now have three security guards in my hotel room, full-blown anarchy, just to get a safe gone as we're doing live Zooms and Dallas radio. And so I'm optimistic with our conversations with the Cowboys that they're very aware of what it'll take to keep DeMarcus a Cowboy. And just honestly, that's up to them. It's not up to us, right? There's a number. The number gets done. DeMarcus is wearing number 90 and running back on the field and getting the fans and the players riled up. You can just leave it open.
Yep. Guys, the
is
league
there stuff
is
in there. Okay, that's all I want to know. There's stuff in the safe, guys.
That's all that matters. You want to make sure it's still in there.
His hats are in there.
I can buy you breakfast again.
There you go.
And so then there's a trickle-down effect, right? It's like, okay, well, we got to get DeMarcus done. Then where does Jordan fit? Where does Chauncey fit? How does Rico fit? And I know that some of them are different players and different positions and different things like that. You know, how does Israel fit? Can you get him back? And then if you save money on deals, which obviously in free agency, you're always looking as an agent to get your guy the maximum value of a deal, how does that figure into what the plans are also for the Cowboys free agent wise, right? And it seems like they've been earlier trying to get business done, at least as it relates to Osa, from what I'm hearing, which is good news, right? You get that deal done, you can save potentially a franchise tag, you can save some money on the cash and the cap, and then you can obviously go get guys like DeMarcus and Jordan and Rico done. And so we're optimistic. If the Cowboys want to get a deal done, I believe we can get every guy back. I really do. And as you guys know, we've had always an incredible time, an incredible relationship, an incredible group of people there in Dallas between Adam, Jerry, Steven Jones, and you know, Todd Williams, you know, Will. Those are some of my favorite people in this business. And, you know, they know we're difficult to deal with. They know we know our numbers and our stuff, and they know we're here. You know, I think yesterday we had 12 meetings. We ate dinner. I got my dinner at 11 p.m. I don't know if that was good luck or bad luck, but it was not
survived
great.
Survived the day on animal crackers.
Ness has animal crackers that he ate.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets now at LiveNation.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Literally meeting the meeting. We had to buy a box of animal crackers. You just don't have time. You're drinking coffee and you're going meeting the meeting. And every meeting is, you know, 30 minutes to 45 minutes. You're getting numbers done. Obviously, you're talking about players that are potentially free agents, the Jordans, the Ricos, and the DeMarcuses of the world. And so you're getting a barometer of what the interest would be if they get to free agency. Well, the one thing people should know, and Bobby, you probably know this because you've spent more time talking with me about this than anybody. There's not deals getting done right now. Maybe for pending free agents like an Osa, you can get real close or you can get it done. But for guys that are potentially free agents, other teams, let's use the Colts, for example, because we're in Indianapolis. I'm not getting a deal done with Jordan Lewis and the Colts today. It's just there's no deadline. He can't leave Dallas until whatever it is, March 13th. That's like a lifetime in the NFL. Like literally, this gets the players scared and anxious and nervous, and it gets the agents like, oh man, we're going to get 12. We're going to get 18. We're going to get 44. And then radio silence for a week. And then they have this fake thing now called the tampering window, which is literally now on a weekend. It starts legally on Monday, but you're not going to tell me, having done this for 30 years, that Ness and I aren't getting calls on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Hey, we might like that guy. Then you find out who you lose, right? Because this business is addition by subtraction. So once you lose a guy, and I'll use a linebacker, you lose Zach Bond on the Eagles. He leaves the Eagles. Now the Eagles go, well, that's a spot that we knew. We met with agents. We had conversations about getting somebody to maybe not be his replacement, but certainly fill that position, right? Oh, well, that's going to cost us 10. Well, we don't want to pay 10. Let's reset and use 8 for a different position. Now we'll go get a nickel for 8. Right now we got to come back to a linebacker. We'll let the market settle and we can go to 5. And so you play that dance, and that dance goes on literally from now all the way through April up until the draft. And then there's another free agent window of veteran guys that sign post-draft that are willing to wait and be patient. And there's usually some money out there. There's even guys that sign in training camp, you know.
Oh, you guys!
I have no idea if I answered any of your questions.
That was all of it.
It was fantastic. Thank you guys so much. We need a. I mean, you need a podcast. We said that last time.
You do.
You need to come sit down for an hour or more after breakfast.
Let's go. I want to do a 24-hour podcast so that by like the 13th hour, we've lost every listener. We are fully intoxicated.
Delirious.
There's like a bed where we nap and we're like laid out in delirious. But listen, the one thing that maybe came out of this is that I at least got my safe open.
Hey! That's good.
Don't do it again.
There is that. Yeah, that's the good thing.
And I'm drinking coffee.
Exactly. And we'll figure out where to find you tonight, later tonight, on the streets of Indy, you and Ness.
Ness and I are going to be headed to Cafe Patichu if we can get in to have a nice, exciting broken yolk, and Ness is going to get pancakes or French toast. Look at him. Look how happy he is. Look at that face.
My favorite meal in Indianapolis.
All right, let us know where you're going to be tonight. Thank you guys so much for the electricity.
How many times do we plug Cafe Patichu, man? They should give us a free
I know.
The sad part is it doesn't matter because nobody's hearing us in Indianapolis. They're hearing us in Dallas.
We got Odyssey.
Yeah, man.
It's the Cowboys, baby. Yeah, exactly. We're worldwide.
Internet's global.
Thank you guys so much. We'll catch up with you later.
Guys, thanks for having us. Appreciate you.
Ness McGrabie and David Cantor from Aura Sports Group. Always great information there. And
he's amazing.
We're gonna have to go find both of them later tonight, I think. Dude, they are a good time.
He needs a podcast. He is electric. The smear Luka campaign continues. He'll be a disaster, a catastrophe in 5 years, according to the Dallas Mavericks. That latest report next. Thursday edition of Sean and RJ. I knew it was going to be busy when last night the news is coming in. Abdul Carter with the injury. Gene Hackman passing away along with his wife and his dog. And then the fluidity of the NFL Combine, our first ever show here, brought to you by Rhino Shield Ceramic Coating. Never paint your house again. And by Best Buy Windows and Siding. This is fun. Well, you can feel the activity. I hope you can feel. My mom is great about this. She's like, I can feel the energy. I can hear it in your voice. The fluidity can be stressful for Bobby and exciting for us because we don't have to deal with it.
I don't care. I love fluidity.
Me and RJ had the urinal-to-urinal conversation with a guy in the middle.
Yeah.
I wanted to make that guy as awkward as possible. It's dead silent in the bathroom. RJ's in the right urinal. I'm left. Guy's in the middle. And I'm like, Bobby's stressed, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know?
the guy probably thought you were talking to him.
The out loud conversation.
Yeah, I was it's just a little – it's a little frazzling this week always is because there's a million different text messages going and people who, let's meet here. Oh, nope, can't meet here now. Up, let's talk. Let's not. This is happening.
Bobby yesterday, I don't know why he didn't do this, before the trip.
Okay, I told you why.
40 text messages while we were having pre-dinner drinks. 40 messages
40.
To go and plant his seed throughout Indianapolis for people to meet up with.
I don't like that description of it, but
and he's hyping up tonight. He's hyping up tonight as the Royal Rumble.
This better be like a road trip. Like the evening.
Are you not? I mean, you guys are seeing the evidence of everybody we're talking to is saying like, well, I didn't go last night, I'm going out tonight. Not last night, today. Because everybody knows tonight is when you're going to see some more people. And so I've already committed because Sean said I was talking trash last night. I told him I am not going to sleep. So we're going to roll right into the show tomorrow morning. Just
what
to prove
are you
going to
do from 3 o'clock to 7?
Probably cocaine then. Is that just okay? I'm just kidding. not really. Just relax.
By the way, how does Indiana have a later last call than we do?
I know.
I think it's just this week.
No. It's 3 a.m.
Is it?
Yeah, it's 3 a.m.
3 a.m. state law?
State law. Tennessee was 3 a.m. too. You can buy liquor at a liquor store.
Wow.
That, until midnight.
Some places in Texas, you can't even buy it, you can't buy anywhere on Sunday.
On Sunday, yeah. But so, it's they've got a 3 a.m.
Yeah.
This is kind of like the Bible Belt too. So it's not that.
Yeah.
Indiana, man. So it's
last
it's
night we went out, did the famous shrimp cocktail, St. Elmo's, and then I could sense the fatigue from both of you. I was ready to go. But you guys were like, we can shut it down early and really ramp it up for Thursday. And I was like, oh.
I just know what you want out of this. I know what you want out of this week.
I didn't get it last night.
And that's the thing is I knew that no matter how late we stood out and how much I was throwing back drinks to this, you weren't going to get out of it what you wanted. Tomorrow night, tonight was going to be the night where you were going to get more out of it. And so once that was established.
What are these hours going to have to be, though, tonight?
Look, was it difficult getting up this morning? Like, this morning was great, right? So it was a long. So I'm saying, I think you can handle an after midnight bedtime. I think you can.
Oh yeah.
I would say I'm planning. I will get sleep. I'm legitimately not planning to probably sleep until about 3 this morning. That's probably when I'll go to bed. But
that's when it sounds like, honestly, that they shut it down around here at 3
yeah.
when they all get done talking to each other.
I have gotten texts from people before, when I've been out here and I'm, trying to meet up with someone and I haven't heard from all day. I remember I was back in my room one time at 12:45 in the morning. Someone texted me and said, we're heading to the bar. And I was like, oh, okay, now you're going to – and I got up out of bed, got dressed again, and walked down to the bar. Because it's like, well, I can't miss the opportunity. It's the last night I'm here and everything else. And so it's – going to be it'll go a little later, but I mean you'll definitely feel it a little bit more, but you can already tell around here. Like I said, it's different. Will you at least say that? It does feel different than any other thing you've been to, even if
the
event itself, and then the outside will be more of it tonight. But
well, it's different because everybody's accessible.
And they're all
yes.
We
don't see any of these people at the Super Bowl outside of Radio Row.
Outside of Houston. Houston we did because we were staying at the hotel.
Yeah.
And it was all in the hotel bar. Other than that, we never see anybody like
Look,
this.
I'm more excited for the pre-dinner spot today. What are we going to do today? We have to go into the stadium to say we witness combine drills.
Sure.
We'll probably have to be around Brian Schottenheimer when he speaks. But we need to get our stuff done for this pre-game at this spot, this crappy bar. What is it? Everyone loves crappy bars. You know what I mean?
Wait, what's the bar?
The one yesterday everyone kept talking about that you guys messed up my plans for being late.
Oh.
Velocity.
Oh, yeah. That's in the Marriott. That's supposed to be really good.
But they said it's a crappy bar. But that's where everyone is.
Yeah.
That's where we have to be for a number of hours before dinner.
The Marriott is where it happens. That's where Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz square off in the Marriott Starbucks.
The reporter fight yesterday.
Yeah, you get all the things happen at the Marriott, I guess.
I don't know. I'm nervous. If tonight goes, as Bobby is saying, it should be a miserable flight home. Physically.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, it's
what are you thinking? How are you prepping mentally?
I got to figure out how we're going to get the day done. You know, like how we're going to get there. But no, I'm
wait a minute, everything's a 10-minute walk.
No. How we're going to get to the point where everything is completed in order to go to
Brian Schottenheimer's going to talk. Brian Schottenheimer's going to talk. We'll have a lot from that tomorrow.
And the Mavericks will smear Luka again.
Yeah, they will.
There's my segue. The Athletic and Sam Amick coming out with a piece. Blah, blah, blah. We know about the hookah and the drinking beer and the social habits. Here's the line that has been put in bold letters. The Mavericks predict Luka's basketball demise, highlighting a health history that, as some see it, will likely lead to catastrophe in the next 5 years or so. This isn't some headline grabber, right? Like, we all want headlines. We all want some clicks. But Sam Amick, you know, he's a credible name.
Yeah.
And he includes the words catastrophe and demise. That's why Nico traded Luka. That's what's coming in the next 5 years
well,
for him.
You know what? He better hope it does. And actually, it won't even matter because he'll be gone.
He'll be gone.
He'll retire. He'll move on to.
That's the other part of this that.
He's going to run Puma.
The Athletic saying if he's only going to do this job a few more years, then that could explain some impatience with Luka's development, his development.
Yeah, he'll be banished to K-Swiss. Yeah, after this thing goes wrong.
Just a really raw basketball player who doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Never made an NBA Finals. Hasn't been to two conference
finals. Or first
team. He's not first team all NBA every year.
They're talking about him like Mozzie Smith.
I really hate to boil it down. It's just every time I see a new Nico leak or something, I just think to myself like, God, he sucks. What is he doing? Why is he so bad at this right now? How did he go? And if he is this bad at it, how did he hide this incompetence for a year and a half or 2 years? How did we not see some of these crazy tendencies of like, this is the standard and no one crosses it?
It was festering. It's just like, I think it's just honestly a philosophical. He thinks if you don't put work as the number one, then you're lazy. That's just that. I truly think like he. So you know the meme,
Kobe Bryant is
the worst thing for Luka.
Kobe Bryant is the reason Luka got traded. Maybe.
So you know the memes.
It's Kobe's fault.
Bobby, you know the memes that say the European mind can't comprehend.
Yeah.
This is Nico can't comprehend the European way of life.
Explain.
They
like
take
the
they
chill,
take
relaxation.
They take August off.
3 hour lunch.
All right. They don't work. For the month of August.
Look, they like their alcohol.
One out of every three Europeans smoke. It's about one out of every eight Americans.
And one out of every two Indianapolisites.
Like, the average American gets 10 PTO days a year. The average European gets 25. He can't comprehend that Europeans are just built a little differently. And there's no right or wrong. That's how they grew up. Like, it works for Joker. It
worked for Vlade.
It worked for It wouldn't work for Kobe.
Not for Drazen.
Right? Kobe couldn't do that. Jordan couldn't do that. And it's just I think it's just a philosophical. He can't comprehend how you would dare smoke a hookah.
You better hope no one heard that.
Or whatever they call it when
is
you
that
smoke
Field
a
Yates? That can't be Field Yates.
I don't know.
Is that Field Yates? Dude. Yeah. Okay. I have to say something about television and movies. How they increase the size of people and height. Like,
Chad Ocho, they got surgery for
Hollywood
that.
Actors and people on TV are completely deceiving the entire public. It is the biggest ruse going.
You got to have a camera angle from underneath.
These people this small should not be this famous and rich. That's what I believe in life. It's the opposite of the Mike Vrabel factor. All these people. There's Graziano.
Oh, yeah.
The Super Bowl stare.
Staring straight ahead.
All these people. Tom Cruise. NASCAR drivers. All these people on here. The shrimps.
Like, shrimps.
It's been giving
tiny.
Me increased confidence at 5'9 and a half, maybe 5'10. Let's crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece, the only station ever to do dual coverage from the combine and spring training. Let's connect with the KMC Masterpiece next. This is why we are out here for the first time ever, NFL Combine in Indianapolis. You never know what can happen. And sitting down with us right now, former general manager. You see him all over the place on ESPN, Mike Tannenbaum, on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan, the home of the Dallas Cowboys. Good morning, man. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you guys.
Brian Broaddus is very jealous, very unhappy that he is not here with us.
Yeah, Brian's a good man. He's had a great run doing this, and please tell him I said hello.
We will. He's probably listening right now, picking his skin off. Mike, your time in New York coincided with our new head coach, Brian Schottenheimer. What can you tell us about him?
I love Shotty. We had a great run together. Got there together in 06, and I was the old man. I was 35. I think Mangini was like 33, and Brian, I think, was like 31 at the time.
Yeah.
And even back then, had a great track record of quarterbacks from Breeze and Rivers. We had success early on with Chad Pennington. He got hurt. And then Brian Daboll, Eric Shotty, myself, we all felt like, hey, you know, Chad could take us as far as we could go, try and beat Tom Brady. Took a shot with Favre. I saw Shotty do a great job with Brett for a year. We were 8-3 before he got hurt. Then we hired Rex. Brian was a big part of us getting Mark Sanchez. Won 4 road playoff games, back-to-back championship games. Think the world of Brian as a coach and even more as a human being. And I think Dallas made a really intriguing choice. And I think it's one of those choices where you're not going to win the press conference. There's not going to be a lot of hype about it. But I think over time, what people are going to see is a quality coach, a great person, and he's going to make this team better.
The perception of him, I think, is a grounded pound, right? As you guys did with the Jets. He was kind of similar in Seattle. Is that the reality of what his philosophy is?
Yeah, I think it's really more about like being game plan specific. And Brian's a smart guy. He's going to attack the opponent's weakness. So I think if we're sitting here a year from now, we'll say like, hey, remember that game where you know they ran 32 times, but remember that game they threw it 32 times. So I think you know there's a lot of his dad in him, which is a real positive, like about toughness and upfront, about fundamentals, being physical. But I know Brian well. I know he's going to really thinking about like attacking our opponent this week this way.
He is. He talked a lot about how culture was the top line item for him taking this job. How critical or how big of a difference can culture make, good culture versus bad culture, in a team's success?
Yeah, I think it's everything. I mean, look at the Chargers. You know, like, look at the Commanders. Like, those were transformational hires. You know, Dan Quinn and Jim Harbaugh, you know, went out and just – and I think Brian will be – have a similar impact in his own style. Like, he's well-prepared. He's a thoughtful person. And I'd be shocked if we weren't sitting here in a year saying, like, wow, that was a great hire.
What do you think will be different from McCarthy?
You know, I had not worked, you know, with Mike before, so I could just speak intimately about Brian and his relatability. Like, you know, I think the key to being a successful head coach nowadays is, can you talk to ownership, the media, Dak Prescott, and make Trey Lance feel like he's the most important person on the planet, all with maybe within 20 minutes, like, you know, I got to go see Jerry about this, but hey, Trey, you know, like, look at that footwork on that 7-step drop on the 3rd rep at yesterday's practice. Like, and Brian has that ability to do that. And to be the head coach, that's a complicated job description. But I could see Brian talking to Jerry and Steven, to Will McClay about personnel, and then getting back to the fundamentals, you know, with Dak and, you know, whomever else may be there.
We all talk about how Dallas maybe needs a little bit of a hard-ass disciplinarian type. Is any of that part of Brian Schottenheimer? Is he more just, hey, we're positive and we're just building culture and everybody, you know, rising tide lifts all ships kind of thing?
Yeah, again, I think it's about the results. So, you know, like Dan Quinn has a fastball. Most people aren't going to see it. You know, Andy Reid's been a Hall of Fame coach, and Andy Reid, like, will never call a player out publicly. But behind closed doors, it could be a world of hurt. You know, unfortunately for me, like, I grew up in an environment with Parcells and Belichick where the world of hurt was coming early and often, and you knew where you stood. But, you know, I think Brian will hold people accountable in his own style. He may not rant and rave, but he'll be effective.
Mike Tannenbaum here on 105.3 The Fan. How do you view the Micah decision? You know, whispers that they explore what it would look like with a trade, the contract that could be coming. I know you guys have talked about it a lot on ESPN. How do you view it?
Yeah, like, look, in a perfect world, those guys never leave your building. Like, you want to draft, acquire, and retain high character, productive draft choices. And he's on, you know, a path to superstardom, a Hall of Fame career. Now, at some point, you say to yourself, well, if we're paying the quarterback X and we're paying CD Y, and now we're going to pay, you know, Micah, you know, a heck of a lot of money, you know, how does the rest of it look? So you have to look at that, but I try to do everything within reason, guys, to make sure that, you know, somebody like Micah doesn't leave.
What is on the general manager checklist when you come out here? Watching the workouts, are the interviews more important, dealing with the future, the meetings, the dinners? Just give us a little insight into that GM world.
Yeah, so you always want to start with, like, the medical. That's the most important thing, like the physicals that happen here, and then the interviews. Like, you want to get to know the prospects. At the same time, juxtaposed with that is the agents, and you want to deal with your own players. Like, hey, what's the market like for our pending free agents? And then, you know, you'll work from there. So, hey, what's Rico Dowdle or, you know, whomever else? And then from there, you know, you're going to be out hearing what else is going on in the marketplace.
What do you look for in the interviews when you're interviewing somebody?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. And I think Brian was in a couple of times. Like, it's amazing how some people will self-select themselves off your board. So we may show a quarterback, hey, here's some interceptions. Here, like, what happened on this play? And if a quarterback would be like, you know, hey, this was a really bad play call, or the receiver ran the wrong route, like, we would just take him off the board. Like, if a guy's going to be a jackass and blame others in college, and now we're going to give him a lot more money, like, they're just going to be a bigger jackass.
You know? You found that usually followed through?
Yeah, 100%.
It didn't backfire? That was premature. We shouldn't have done that.
You know, Coach Belichick in a draft room would always say, like, the two things you have in pro football from college football is more time and more money. So whatever they are in college, you're going to get more of. Like, if they're selfless and productive and, you know, bringing energy, and, yeah, they're going to bring more of that. If they're going to be a finger pointer, not play hurt, not be competitive, not be tough, you're going to get more of that.
Do you find that with quarterbacks? Because I know one of Parcells' things is he wanted multiple years in college to play.
Yeah.
And I know Mark only had, like, a year's college, but so did Cam. But did you find that kind of correlates too?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Bill about that a lot. Like, that has to change, like, the 30 starts and all. Like, you know, it's funny, like, if we were sitting here 5, 6, 7 years ago, if a quarterback transferred, it was, like, blasphemous. Oh, my God, like, what happened? You know, like, now, like, you know, that's just, like, sort of, like, getting up in the morning. You know, like, they all transfer. So I think you have to continually learn and adjust. But for the quarterbacks that do stick around, show toughness, show perseverance, like, that matters.
Everyone is waiting for the inappropriate or weird combine question to be leaked. This team asked this, or they're doing basketball contests. What's something unconventional you guys did that actually made sense and was productive? Like, something we all make fun of, but you do it for this reason.
So we actually brought this into like parenting, and I think you would ask my two teenagers. I don't think they're going to put me in a parent hall of fame, but you know, one of the things we always used to ask a player when they came in is, like, what's one nice thing you've done for somebody in the last week? And just their body language alone was unbelievable. Well, I've been traveling a lot. Okay, did you help somebody with their overhead luggage? Just some manifestation of selflessness. So we turn that in our house to dessert eligibility. So every day you have to do one nice thing for somebody else to earn your dessert.
That's amazing.
Dessert eligibility.
And what happened is my kids turn around, okay, Dad, like, what'd you do? So all of us in our house has to earn your dessert eligibility, and you have to do at least one nice thing for somebody else every day.
Mike, is that time, is it 20 minutes for the interview?
Yeah.
Is it just too limited?
Yeah, you know, you can bring them in. You know, you have 60 interviews that you and every situation is different. Like, if there's an off-field issue that you got to clean up, that's going to take up some time. But you really, like, in our opinion, you want to get to the tape. Let the assistant coach run it, and, you know, you want to see their football acumen. And what I mean by that, like, you don't expect them to memorize their playbook, but, hey, we're playing Texas A&M that week. We were worried about the nickel pressure or whatever it was, and guys separate themselves. And, like, even, like, hey, take us through your week. And guys were, like, really separate. Hey, Monday was my day that, you know, I recovered. You know, we stretched, cold tub. You know, Tuesday night was we got together and we watched film. You know, Wednesday night was the night we went out. You know, just – because as a prospect, what you want to connotate is, like, I've been a pro player, and I'm just shifting from playing on Saturday to Sunday.
The NFLPA came out with their report cards.
Yep.
Woody Johnson, the only owner to get an F. does this matter? How much would you weigh this as a GM or if you're in the building?
So I worked for Woody for 16 years, and that's not the Woody Johnson I know. You know, he gave us everything we needed to be successful. And, in fairness, if you look at their player acquisition over the past year, like, it didn't seem like they were skimping, you know, like they certainly were trying to win.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, are there lessons? Of course there are. And like a lot of things now, like, that's got a lot of notoriety. So,
would you buy, sell, or hold the Dallas Cowboys right now?
You know, I really would hope to, buy, because I'm a believer in, I think they have the hard positions. Like, I think they have a playmaker at receiver. I've always been a Dak fan. They got a pass rusher. They got, really, with Bland, two really good corners when healthy.
Yeah.
They have a lot of holes. Most teams do. But I think they have the hard parts down.
This was tremendous. Thank you so much for sitting down with us. We're going to see you out at 2 a.m. tonight, 1 a.m.?
No, I'm going to go to bed and make sure that I've earned my dessert eligibility.
There you go.
Tannenbaum, ESPN. What a way to close the Thursday edition of Sean and RJ. We're back with one more day tomorrow. The KMC Masterpiece is next from Surprise, Arizona, on the home of the Rangers.
This is how flying should be. That's what a Breeze guest recently said about Breeze Airways. Breeze flies nonstop to Sarasota, Bradenton, and more straight from Long Island MacArthur Airport. Breeze not only makes travel easy and affordable, but they offer flexible and friendly change policies, have high-speed Wi-Fi, and a premium first-class seat called Breeze Ascent. It's time you choose to fly Breeze. What are you waiting for? Book your flight today at flybreeze.com. Breeze Airways, seriously nice, in partnership with Visit Bradenton.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.